Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. The ICE Detention Center in Aurora has a lot to answer for. Whether a tuberculosis case spread inside and what happened outside where a protester was shot and an ICE contractor is in custody. The Trump administration's misleading new claim about Colorado's elections.
It's less of a hack and more of an access to public information.
And a lot of noise and sawdust accompany this week's good news in the lives of our fellow Coloradans.
My good news is I woke up on the right side of the dirt this morning.
That's tonight. On Next.
The situation at Colorado's largest ICE detention facility is going from bad to worse. Today is the state's deadline to get inside the GEO Group property in Aurora to investigate a confirmed case of tuberculosis. Then last night, Aurora police say an ICE contractor shot a protester outside. She's expected to survive. Our Marshall Zellinger has the latest.
So shame on them.
The protest of GEO Group, the company that detains immigrants under a contract with ICE, has reached a new location, the office of Democratic Attorney General Phil Weiser.
For GEO Group blocking public health officials.
Protesters normally are outside the ICE facility in North Aurora. But last night, just before his shift started, GEO employee Brandon Booth is accused of shooting and injuring a protester. Aurora police say GEO workers were waiting in their cars because of the protest when two protesters got into it verbally with them and took pictures of workers' cars. Booth is accused of shooting at two protesters after they walked away, hitting and injuring one of them. In a statement, Aurora's police chief promised a thorough, objective, and transparent investigation.
So we're asking Phil Weiser to do what is mandated in the state law.
The protest at Weiser's office is about the recent tuberculosis case inside the ICE facility in Aurora.
Well, I think he's got a really good opportunity to show a lot of people where he really stands and if he's also willing to push the line.
Andrea Loya leads Casa de Paz, which always has a presence outside the ICE facility to help detainees and their families. She's part of Friday's protest to try to get Weiser to force GEO and ICE to allow Adams County health leaders inside to investigate TB. GEO has already sued Washington State and New Jersey over similar state laws they say they don't need to comply with because they answer to Congress and ICE.
Even though it feels performative, we do have to be able to hold a line at some point and say, even though you're not going to do this correctly, we know that this is the correct thing to do.
ICE said the TB patient was treated, cleared of TB, and deported.
So there's a lot of different people that are potentially at risk in a congregate setting.
Adams County's health director still wants to be able to investigate the ICE facility just like anywhere else.
But we don't have a lot of information following that initial contact in terms of whether treatment was completed, or what has happened since, and we don't have any information about who else may have been exposed.
GEO Group did respond to the state's deadline today about TB by telling the Colorado Public Health Department there are no active TB cases in the facility. State Health noted GEO didn't detail how they determined that, and GEO is still not letting health experts inside to investigate. In return, the state said, "Let's meet with your leadership." So we'll see how that next request goes.
So, Marshall, we've seen, right, when municipalities, local and state, have dealt with the federal government, right, with DHS, ICE, and CBP, that kind of thing, it could be really nasty, really contentious. Mm-hmm. But they're still working through this contractor.
Right. And they're treating them just like any other, like, private business if they wanted access for certain things from a health standpoint, at least from the health standpoint part of it. And they're just getting stymied. And there's really nothing that can be done because you look at these other states that the GEO is suing and it's just caught up in court. So, like, why is Colorado going to be any different right now?
Marshall Zellinger, thank you. Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commissioners narrowly voted down a proposed ban on fur sales today, ending a controversial months-long debate that was sparked by a citizen petition. Earlier this year, Colorado Parks and Wildlife's appointed commissioners went against the recommendation of CPW staff and their director to advance a proposed ban on the retail sale of fur products. The proposal drew opposition from hunters who said there's no scientific basis for the restrictions. But animal rights advocates and other backers of the proposal argue that the commercialization of animal products encourages irresponsible hunting and trapping. Well, today, commissioners met to nail down specifics of what a fur ban would look like which animals or products should be exempt. But after hours of debate, they voted narrowly to stop considering the ban altogether. That's a surprise, especially after yesterday's meeting when the commission voted to limit the number of fur-bearing animals that a hunter or trapper can take per day to 2. CPW previously did not have bag limits for those animals and opposed the idea of a daily limit. Commissioners voted 6-5 to approve those new restrictions anyway. Heads up, a quick note about tonight's program. So we are broadcasting on 9 News and on Channel 20 right now, and both channels are switching over to bring you the Rockies game at 6:15. Why both channels? Don't ask me. Above my pay grade. Next, we'll continue through 6:30 wherever you stream 9 News. So as a result, our commercial breaks are going to be in different places, but we'll still have just as much time to talk about the news as on any other night.
Colorado's voter rolls, and specifically Denver's, are very accessible.
President Trump says China is illegally accessing Colorado's voter rolls. Well, if that's true, China went to a bunch of unnecessary trouble because they're a public record. And after a tidal wave of primary victories for the far left, progressives are setting their sight on the Denver's mayor's office. That's next. There's a new progressive challenger in the 2027 Denver mayor's race. Councilwoman Chantel Lewis has filed paperwork to run against Mayor Mike Johnston. She's looking to ride the wave of candidates backed by the Democratic Socialists of America. She's a former RTD director serving her first term representing a council district in northeast Denver. She's been an outspoken critic of Mayor Mike Johnston's homelessness plan, which she says is concentrated poverty within her district. She's also been vocal about excessive force incidents involving Denver police and passed new rules banning masks for ICE officers. Mayor Johnston already faces a challenger from his left. Social justice advocate and nonprofit leader Lisa Calderon is already in the race against Johnston. She's run 3 times. She finished 3rd in the 2023 mayoral race. She was just 2 points shy of making the runoff against Johnston. Meteorologist Chris Bianchi is along now. Tis the season for monsoons, so Donde.
Yeah, I know a lot of people want the monsoon. The monsoon, it's coming, Denver. We got a couple more days to go, and then we'll finally get that. So far today, though, this is where the monsoon is. It's in the mountains, and it's leading some really dousing, beneficial rain. I've gotten a few notes from Antero Junction, from Salida, of that really healthy rain. Telluride dropped down to 55 degrees just a couple hours ago because of a good downpour out there at 9,000 feet. Still seeing some of that rain right now, mostly concentrated in southern Colorado, the wet mountains, west of the San Juans, getting some of those showers and storms. Closer looking at Salida, closer to an inch of rain already, and not quite done yet. Still some rain along the Highway 50 corridor. Next few hours, that rain will gradually fizzle on out as we lose that daytime heating, which is helping deliver some of these showers and storms. In Denver, though, it'll stay dry. If you got any outdoor plans this evening, just stay cool, but otherwise it'll be dry for us here in town. Same idea tomorrow. I know. Wash, rinse, repeat. We're doing it all over again here, folks. Tomorrow will be our 8th consecutive day at or above 90 degrees. Mostly sunny skies. Hot, still a little bit breezy late in the evening. And then it gets even hotter. So we're going to go from hot and dry, hot and dry, hot and dry to really hot and dry and really hot and dry before we finally see some relief next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That'll come in the form of some widespread afternoon showers and storms on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, including the possibility for maybe even some flash flooding mid next week, as these are going to be slow-moving monsoon storms. But until then, really hot and dry, as I mentioned, with Sunday and Monday, high temperatures topping out near 100 and overnight lows near 70.
4 years ago this week, our community lost a leader when Ma Kang, a pillar of the refugee community in Denver and Aurora, was killed by a stray bullet. Let's remember her impact, helping people achieve the American dream. Our latest Word of Thanks microgiving campaign will fund the Ma Kang Scholarship Fund. We have done this for a few years now in Ma Kang's memory and in support of the refugee community. These scholarships go to refugees who are pursuing post-secondary education in fields like nursing, social work, computer science, business, and teaching. This is a project of the Refugee Action Coalition of Colorado through the nonprofit Spring Institute. I've met a number of these scholarship recipients over the years, and they are exceptionally impressive. They came to this country at the invitation of our government, fleeing persecution abroad, and they want to turn their talents into careers that can benefit our community, their new home. Ma Kang's daughter was actually one of the recipients. She's studying to be a lawyer. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491. We'll send you that link to donate. Even $5 helps. That's how you've raised $19 million for nonprofits in Colorado. And I'll never ask you to give if I don't, so I'll match the first 50 donations of $5 to get us going. And more than 8,000 of you are signed up to make a monthly donation to the Word of Thanks Fund. You put in your info once, and each month that donation's automatically split among all the nonprofits we feature. This month, 5-week split, should add about $40,000 per week. President Trump says Colorado's voter rolls have been made public. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, they're public records. And Denver City Park bandstand is off limits this summer. Well, off limits to humans.
Even though people can't use the band structure right now, we're definitely seeing our local wildlife being able to use it.
Plans to rebuild the burned out landmark are changing a bit. That's next if you follow us on the stream. It's time for Rockies baseball for everybody watching on channels 9 and 20. The Rockies, 22 and a half games out of first, are taking on the Cincinnati Reds, who are 15 and a half back in the NL Central. The good news is this isn't soccer. They'll play till somebody wins. President Trump's address to the nation on election security last night not only failed to provide evidence of his claim that the 2020 election was rigged, the speech did not even have evidence that any foreign adversary has accomplished what Trump himself has done over the last 6 years. So widespread doubt in American elections. Instead, Trump's speech rehashed known claims about Russian and Chinese influence operations, which, of course, is very different than rigging election results. In fact, last night, the White House released some previously classified documents that actually refute Trump's claims of election rigging, pointing out that America's vote tabulation systems are so localized and varied state to state and county to county that it would be difficult to manipulate them on a widespread scale.
China and other countries have been trying to meddle in our elections. Evidence of fraud has been buried.
Documents released by the Trump administration list Colorado's voter rolls as being compromised by China. But another document in the stack showed that China simply downloaded those publicly available files. Anyone can get them. This would be like saying that you have compromised a 7-Eleven Slurpee by walking into the store and purchasing one. They're not a secret. Anyone is allowed to get them. Our Spencer Soischer explains.
Hundreds of millions of U.S. voter files are in the hands of foreign governments. Our machines and ballot counting systems are exposed to hacking and manipulation and corruption.
In President Donald Trump's attempt to prove foreign election interference, he said newly declassified documents show shocking revelations that China hacked or stole voter rolls. The documents released by the White House Thursday on China's acquisition of voter data mentioned Colorado three times.
As far as hacking, no, it's publicly available.
Republican El Paso County Clerk Steve Schleicher watched Trump's speech, found nothing shocking. Colorado's voter rolls can be purchased by anyone.
It's less of a hack and more of an access to public information.
Denver Elections Director Todd Davidson, who works under a Democrat clerk, showed us how to do it in Denver.
This is our website. Scroll down to election data.
It doesn't take a Chinese hacker to get Denver's voter roll. It took less than 10 clicks right from the city's own website.
The zip, the precinct number, the split style of the ballot, it allows voters to see for themselves who's voting on the ballot. Of course, it doesn't allow them to see who they voted for.
El Paso County also lets you do it.
The state has these out there as a downloadable file.
These claims of a shocking revelation?
Not at all, Spencer.
I would love for voters, if they don't buy it, come on in and see it.
The documents released by the White House also touch on vulnerabilities. Both Davidson and Schleicher say that's nothing new either. They know there are vulnerabilities in an election. And that's why there are layers upon layers upon layers of additional security in case there is one. And Colorado also uses paper. Whether you vote by mail or in person, every vote is auditable, Kyle.
Spencer, I'm reminded of the phrase, everything is a conspiracy if you don't know how anything works. And Colorado's county clerks do a lot of this proactive education, where if somebody says, hey, I think there's something up, they're like, yeah, come in and take a look. We'll answer your questions.
They're doing that. And you ask them, like, do you fear for your staff? Like when something like what happened last night happens on a national stage and maybe the conversation about a rigged election has toned down at some point, just ramps it back up. The Denver clerk said, yeah, we are concerned. Like, this is scary. You never know what somebody's going to think when they hear claims and maybe they don't understand how it works, like you said.
Yeah, last year we saw the firebombing of the clerk's office in Archuleta County. Yeah. All right, Spencer Soischer, thank you. The historic bandstand in Denver City Park is set for demolition after it burned earlier this year. Thanks in large part to your word of thanks donations, it is going to be rebuilt in time for next summer City Park jazz sessions. But the wrecking crews can't get to work until some squatters get out of the way. On tonight's edition of Nest, wildlife managers say some swallows have made the bandstand their summer home.
The bandstand in City Park has been here for many, many years. Unfortunately, it did catch fire. The plan for the bandstand is to rebuild it. Even though people can't use the band structure right now, we're definitely seeing our local wildlife being able to use it. Currently, we have some barn swallows that are using the bandstand for their nesting. So I see a bird perched up on the top here, but then the birds are flying underneath the eaves, about 5 to 8 nests underneath this roof. They are looking for their more natural habitat. In the mountains, they would be looking for cliff sides and ledges. Here in our urban landscape, they're looking for underneath bridges and old wooden structures like the bandstand. We're just waiting for them to disperse at the end of their nesting season, which will be roughly around September, October. Hopefully by that time, we will be able then to start the demolition of the bandstand. Having the swallows nesting here hasn't made much of a negative impact to the project. It's probably delayed it maybe a month or two. That I believe will give us a bit more time in our planning phase to then plan the demolition. It's exciting to see that migratory birds love to use our park system.
Next viewers raised almost $90,000 toward building that new bandstand. The city still expects the demolition and the rebuild to be done in time for City Park Jazz next summer. All right, let's fire up the chainsaws, carve out some good news and your feedback next. Each Friday, we set aside the headlines and just go out and ask folks what's good in their lives. And that is how we wandered into the Chainsaws and Chuck Wagons event in Frederick.
Time to lively up yourselves and perceive the times.
My good news right now is that when I come to events like this, I get to go on vacation with my family. So they help me work and then we go play after.
Time to put your folly down and let wisdom rise.
My good news is I woke up on the right side of the dirt this morning.
My good news is I got to go to Estes and they were doing this thing called the Bigfoot Calling Contest.
My good news is this precious angel that I get to hold.
My sister got second and I got first place. So I am so proud that I got first place.
Hot. As a carver, it's hot.
My good news is we have rain in the forecast coming up in a few days and Colorado needs it.
I'll try my best.
My good news is I had a dream that my wife cheated on me with her drama teacher, and she doesn't even do drama class. But then I woke up and it wasn't true, so I was happy about that.
My good news is I picked a lot of and shoveled a lot of weeds out of my yard and garden.
First, I like get my hands in the right position.
My good news is volunteering is all over Colorado.
He will not come down. Yep, that's all.
I feel like we should just like unpack everything that we just saw there. Can we go back to the dude in the America hat who said that he dreamt that his wife cheated on him with a drama teacher, but it's cool because she doesn't do drama. Like, I need a full piece on that. I need a full piece on whatever's happening with them. Okay, onward. This via text, watch the segment on the happenings at the ICE detention facility. We were surprised that it wasn't mentioned that they don't follow flag protocol. The U.S. flag is half-staffed. The others are up fully by protocol. Honestly, that really seems like the least of their problems. Like that is literally the absolute least of their problems. See you next time.
thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.